Number one desirable. I do what I want when I want and how I want it. Leave you with the one in the air. What's up? Welcome back to the And That's the Tea podcast. Today, I am joined by a special guest, and that is my sibling, my blood brother, Dustin Ross.
Boy, dude, Dustin Ross has some stories for you.
We're gonna tell you some prison stories.
Ain't that what y'all like to hear? It's hip-hop. It's really cool for y'all to hear prison stories nowadays. First, I'd like to say that I conscientiously object to the intro music. If I had my choice, it would have been Hail Mary by Tupac Shakur, and it would have only been fitting. Moving on. Audrey's going to interview me. I'm going to drink sake and beer, and we'll go from there. Meanwhile, Atlas is right next to me. And Atlas, hey, one thing really I missed. God, having a dog... Y'all don't even understand. I miss dogs. Miss it having pets. That just sucks.
We legit never had a pet growing up.
I had imaginary. I had imaginary friends, and you know that's almost like a pet. And you can have those in prison too.
We had a dog named Josie.
Man, we kept her in a pen.
Yeah, was like, that wasn't our idea.
Wasn't
though.
Our idea. Mom just really didn't like animals.
Our mom was like a bitch. No, I love my mom. She was just towards animals, except for Atlas. She loved Atlas.
Yeah, she likes Atlas, but like, you know, it's way too late now. We could have had a dog. I probably wouldn't have went to prison if we had like an inside dog. Like, I just have to say that. I feel like my chances would have been better. Dogs prevent going to prison.
Do they?
Long I think so.
I like to see that study.
Because then you're like, you have the guilt of like, you know, you can leave, you know, your girl, whatever. But man, you leave your dog. You got to go to prison. Your dog never see again. I mean, that's a lot to weigh in the scale of.
I feel like Andrew would be fine if I went to prison.
You think so?
I don't know.
I don't know how he'd do. He'd probably, I'd have to hang out with him every day. Be sad.
What would I go to prison for?
You? You're gonna get, oh man.
What would I go to if I went to prison?
You're gonna get involved in some kind of financial goddamn sketchy bullshit. You know I'm right. Either that or
financial
like,
sketchy. Why?
Why? Because that's you. That's why. Because
I'm a moneymaker?
Yes. I don't think you have any scruples when it comes to that.
What's a scruple mean?
Scruple means values and things that would keep you out of trouble. I think you might start the largest pyramid scheme that's somehow based around being an Instagram fitness girl that really anyone's ever heard of. I don't know how you're going to put that together, but if you do, it's cool.
For real. I'll work on it.
So, they want to hear stories. I know y'all are seeing a lot in the woke social media news about pedophiles lately. That's a subject I feel strongly about. Why is that? Okay. Well... So when you go to prison and you go to prison not for something like being a sex offender or, you know, we as men, we're on a yard, you show up and I find out that you raped a girl or even statutory rape, like, dog, I'm not letting you make it. You just can't hang out with me. I can't see your face. None of us. And how we dealt with that was we took turns. So what would happen is a bus would come in, right? And the feds, you can be from anywhere in the country, and you go to your next yard, blah, blah, blah. You fly on a plane just like Con Air, the Nicolas Cage movie. How cool is that? And so every week you have a bus come in with about 20 to 30 inmates. Well, on average, because the feds deal with such a large amount of online crimes, which the majority of which are...
Chomos.
Child molesters. Chomos, as we like to call them. Diaper snipers. There's a word. I like that phrase. Hashtag diaper snipers. And about out of 20 people, 7 or 8 of them would be chomos. And the old adage goes that you cannot judge a book by its cover. Dustin Scott Ross is here to tell you that 10 times out of 10, you can see a creepo from a mile away.
Oh, yeah.
And if you know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about.
I know you're talking about.
There's a lot of reasons for that. I have some theories on as to why they look like weirdos. But this ain't a philosophical discussion. This is just me telling crazy stories. So we'd see them come off the bus and we would just start laughing to each other. You know, the ones of us that have been there for a while, and it's like, dude, we were like sharks and they were like minnows. And they walk up and someone would try. Someone would actually come out to the yard, because you do have an option. Like, they have something called SIS there, and they investigate what you're there for, and they'll tell you, hey, we don't think you can make it on this yard. Well, someone would be like, oh, well, I'm going to try, because they don't want to go sit in solitary confinement, which, hey, is cool. I mean, I guess if I was a sex offender, I sure wouldn't go risk my life, but a lot of them did, which made for good sport.
Good sport.
So what we would do is, because you do get in like marginal amounts of trouble for jumping on them, whatever you want to call it, we would put names in a hat, and every week we'd draw names. You might have to go beat up Chomo 3 times in a row, like in a month, and you'd be like, damn, I feel like I'm driving this car. There's nobody else in it. But then sometimes you might not have to do it for a couple months. I loved when my name got called. Why? I don't know. They're sick. And you know, I always felt like I get to take revenge for the kid who didn't have a chance to take revenge. I get to act out that family's, their pain gets immediately karmically reflected onto this weirdo. It was great.
Wait, so like when your name got drawn, then what do? Like, you just wait for the perfect opportunity?
Here's how I would do things. So what happens in prison is, like, there's really not that much weed there in the feds. Because weed's hard to get in. There's a lot of K2. I don't know if y'all know anything about K2, but it'll make you freak the fuck out. And what I would like to do, I would give them like a nightmare, right? So picture this. You come into prison and I make you think that everything's cool. You can hang out. We don't know you're a child molester. But the fact is, we already looked you up before you got there, because we get the laundry list of your name. You can look up anyone's federal crime. Matter of fact, you can Google me right now. It's nothing. My information's up there. So is everyone else's who has a federal crime. And we'd already know you were a sex offender, so you'd show up. And I'd have a plan if it was my name. I liked to put like a big old hit of K2 together for him. Like, what's up, bro? You like to get high? And I'd be like, yeah. I don't know. For some reason, I always did like to get high. But I'd give him like a monster-ass bad trip on K2. And then we would just start beating the shit out of them boys. They'd be so high, be screaming, crying. But, like, it's like, I don't feel bad for that, because that kid didn't have a chance. Or the people you supported through your purchase of child porn and the things that they did to further that business. Like, all that karma gets to come back when you get to prison. Crazy thing about them is, though, they get little sentences. Like, me, yeah. For example, robbed a CVS, but I did it nonviolently. Didn't even make a threat. I couldn't be enhanced for none of that. I got 60 months. I know people that get caught with damn near motherfucking terabyte of child porn on their laptop. Some of it they made themselves, and come in and out in like 24 months. So I've got one story that really sticks out in my mind of one specific incident. I'm going to take a drink of this sake. We just went and got sushi out of sake.
Sushi buffet.
It was... Man, sushi's good, too. If nothing else, don't go to prison, because then you can't eat sushi.
And sushi.
It was delicious. Hold on.
Because there's no telling how regulated that was.
Ah. God, it tastes good.
That's like straight tequila.
It does taste like gas. Okay. So, one time, I was in Pekin, Illinois. I liked Pekin. That was a cool prison. It was kind of like a yard for people about to go home. But they had sex offenders there. But the thing was, like... That's the kind of yard that you get rewarded to go to. So, like, people weren't just stabbing them out of hand. Like, they would sometimes, but, like, they were protected by the BOP at that yard. Which is all good and well, because I was, I think, 8 months from going home at this point. I really didn't want to lose no good time. Well, I got locked up into the shoe for getting in a fight. And I'm an asshole to cops. I just am. Hashtag blue lives don't matter. I just don't like them. We can argue about it if you want to argue about it. But the fact is, being a cop's a choice. And 87% of them are sociopaths.
But there are good ones, right?
I said 87%.
Okay.
Most of them are only in that job for the ability to perpetuate a sense of inferiority and feel that need in themselves to dominate or be cruel to other people. And I witnessed it a million times. I do not like them. I've got nothing for
you. Mom told me to never date a cop.
Mom was right.
She told me to date a firefighter, not a cop.
I mean, yeah, firefighters are cool.
Andrew's not
Firefighters don't arrest people and they don't kill black people, so that's cool.
Yeah.
So anyway, I was an asshole to the cops, so they thought they were gonna like mess with me one day. And they put a chomo in my room. Like I wasn't talking about shit. Thing is, you are not gonna live in my house and be a child molester. Point blank period. Okay. Well, I come back, they had just like took me to DHO, which is a detention hearing officer, which is like a jail inside of a jail where you get punished for crimes you commit inside of jail. It's really Orwellian and a rabbit hole of just control on their part. I come back from, you know, getting my little sanctions for getting in the fight, and this fucking, I'm always hip to white people in jail. If you don't have tattoos, I'm automatically suspect about you, because that says something, because sex offenders, they don't get to get tattooed or be badasses. We don't let them play none of them games.
What's a sex offender?
Sex offender.
Oh, sex offender. Okay.
We don't let them get tattooed. They don't get to go home and pretend that they were hard asses like the rest of us do. It's just that you're not part of the club, bud. And I'm looking at this dude that's in my cell when they bring me back, and I'm like, damn. This dude looks like a weirdo, but maybe he's not, because there ain't no way that these people would have put a weirdo in Dustin Ross's cell. It's just no way. So I go into my cell, and when you're in segregated housing, you're on a tier of like 40 other cells with a bunch of people in them. So, you know, you can talk through the doors, whatever. And everybody started hollering at me when I got back, Ross, who is your cellie? I'm like, and cellie's the word we use. Sounds cute, I guess, but yeah, that's what we call our bunkmates. Cellies. Ross, who's your cellie? I'm like, I don't even know his name, so hold on, let me put him on the door. I'm like, look, dude, these people are trying, who are you? They want to know your name. He's like, oh, I don't want to get on the door. So I look at this motherfucker. I'm like, what do you mean you don't want to get on the door? What does that really mean?
What does get on the door mean?
Get on the door means, you know, come to the door.
Show yourself.
Yeah, let the range know who you are, because there's a lot of motherfuckers that hide back there. And I'm like, I know he's hiding. I'm already hip, really, because I'm looking at him. He's a cold weirdo. But, I want to double check before I go to put hands on him, because I'd hate to make a mistake. So I'm like, nah, you need to get on the door and tell these people your name. Then someone yelled at me. I think it was my homie C-Nut, a GD dude. Good dude. I wonder where he's at. Anyway, he said, Ross, you in there with such and such? He about 6'2". I'm like, yeah, that's him. That's definitely him. Like, oh man, he fucks with them little boys, Ross. I said, what? He does what? Yeah, the other sex offenders on this yard ran him up because he was in the library taking motherfucking Time magazines, cutting out pictures of little boys and making collages in the middle of a prison. I said, yeah, ain't no way the sun is fixing to set in this cell and I don't beat this hoe's ass. There's just no way. So I turned around and I told his bitch ass, I said, dude, you have one fucking chance. And I mean one chance to get the fuck out of my cell. I want to go home in 6 months. I don't want to lose good time fucking you off. And believe you me, I will fuck you off.
Well, what's he supposed to do? They put him in your cell.
There's an established protocol to deal with this. The protocol is he gets on that door and starts kicking it till a guard comes. When the guard gets there, he's supposed to tell that guard, I'm going to kill myself. That way his bitch ass goes to suicide watch and gets the hell out of my cell. That's how it's supposed to be done if they don't want to get whooped if you happen to just get put in a cell with them. Here's the thing. I wasn't too big at this point in my life. I was about maybe 160. This dude was like 6'3". About 230. But the thing about it is, it's never the size of the dog in the fight. It's always the size of the fight in the dog. I don't care how big you are. But if you don't want to fight, you can't fight. And I wanted to fight this motherfucker so bad. I was already pissed off because a lot of this shit was going on right at this point. And he just looked like a creep. God, he looked so goddamn creepy. I don't remember his fucking name. Motherfucker, he looked creepy. And so he's like, okay, I don't want no problems. I'll get out. So I'm like, all right, motherfucker, get on that door. So he starts kicking. Wham, 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 wham. Guards come down there. He does this bitch ass shit where he looks at the guard and like throws up air quotes like with his fingers, like, yeah, I'm gonna kill myself, air quotes, air quotes. And I looked at this bitch, and the guard looks at me, and the guard like just shakes his head and walks off. I'm like, did you really just try me like that? Like, are you serious? You really trying me like this? He said, I mean, I said it, man. It's not, you know, But it's not my fault, you're my son. I'm like, okay, I see where this has to go now. I said, you have 10 seconds at this point. Get that guard back down here. And the very next thing you say to him, if they don't pull you out of this cell, I'm bouncing your head off that door, I'm breaking your glasses, and I'm stomping on you till they come in here and get me. Which, fun fact, if you're in the shoe, the guards cannot come in a cell, even if I'm killing you, until I decide to put handcuffs on. It's a safety risk for them. I can murder you. They're not going to come save you. It's just not. They'll gas me, but I can eat. I've been maced, tear gassed so much, this shit does not affect me. So, he just doesn't get it. Still, it's amazing to me. You know, you're trying to show someone mercy. And I was. I mean, it sounds like I was being a dick, but that's mercy for prison, for real. And what he did was he went and laid on his rack, which, or bed, I don't know. I'm trying not to use too much slang so that you guys can understand me. Went and laid on his bed and faced the wall. I was like, dude, this dude just must think I'm not talking about nothing. He must think I really won't put these hands on him. So I'm like, all right, well, he done signed his death warrant right there. So what I did was, the beds are bunk beds, and one of them has a lip, like, up top where you can grip. And, like, usually I do pull-ups off that or something. So I have, like, a perfect leverage point. So what I do is I run over to him, I grab that lip, and I swing my whole body weight, put both my feet, and crack him in the back of his head and bounce his head off the cement wall. He's immediately unconscious and pissing on himself and shaking. Like, I think I probably already killed him. I get on that door, get the guard down there. He's in the floor having a goddamn grand mal seizure with his bitch ass. The guard's like, what the fuck did you do? I'm like, I told you I wasn't playing. I told you, get this bitch out of my cell. Y'all didn't listen, so now he's beat the fuck up. I'm fixing to keep whooping him until I get tired. Y'all can watch. The guard's like, man, get off of me. So I'm, you know, I'm kicking him, whatever, throwing him around. So I slammed him into the toilet, picked him up over my head, slammed him. Yeah, he had to have, they said, you know, I don't really know, this is rumors, but they said he was in the hospital for about 3 months, getting his face rebuilt. They had to put the bones, like, back together. He had plastic surgery. I really messed that dude up. And I was glad, because he had a 30-year sentence. And for you to be a chomo and have a 30-year sentence,
oh, he must have done.
You did
shit.
Some such wicked, vile shit that... And you know what they do that bothers me? They always want to get to jail and be Christians. And I'm like, dude, you make people that really live that shit look so bad, because you don't mean that shit at all. You're just trying to justify your own actions to yourself by saying somebody forgives you. Bitch, ain't nobody forgive you for touching a little kid. I don't care what you think. Hey, Atlas, I forgives you for whatever you did. So that is probably my best chomo story. For real. I wish I could act it out for y'all. You could see, like, the motions and the way I just beat his ass. Hey, Atlas. What else would you like to know at this point, Audrey?
Tell us about Beaumont Prison.
Beaumont Correctional Complex. Huh.
You might want to take a few sips of your Coors Light.
Woo! I ain't never had sake before. That motherfucker is strong. So, Beaumont. Beaumont has a reputation.
Where's Beaumont?
It is right outside of Houston, Texas. It is the most violent, dangerous prison in the federal system. For good reason. Just, I don't know what it is about that place. It's in the air. You feel it when you get off the bus. Terrifying. It just feels like no hope there. The towers, fences, everything's gray, everything's black. You just really don't believe that you're going to continue living for very long when you get off the bus. Just a overwhelming sense of not going to survive very long. And there's a lot, probably part of that is there's a lot of people there who have life sentences, and people with life sentences just don't care no more, and they like to watch violence and destruction and senseless. That was bad. What to tell you about it? I know that when I got off the bus there, the LGBTQ community in prison is alive and well, as you all know from pop culture, whatever. But I don't think you understand how prevalent it actually is. When I got off the bus there, I asked somebody if I was at a co-ed prison, because, man, they had this one girl. I call her a girl because, man, if that's what motherfucker would have put that much time and effort into looking like a girl, you got it. And that's what you can be. Man, there's one girl called Maria. Them of her had so much surgery, the guards used to watch Maria walk around the yard. The guards that went home every night and had pussy.
All respect to Maria.
And let me tell you something about Maria. boy, you got life fucked up if you think you were going to disrespect Maria at all. Maria, I see Maria used to work in laundry. I seen a dude go down there and just start cussing Maria out one day because they had his clothes wrong or something. And Maria said, oh yeah, hold on. Just threw a little window down that she worked at, came outside. Said, so what's up, bitch? This ain't what you want. Talking to a grown ass man like this. And then you're right, that dude didn't want it. He got the fuck up out of there. And I was like, damn, I don't know where I'm at anymore. This is getting wild.
Why did you move around? Wait, backtrack. Why did you move around to so many different prisons?
Anytime that you fuck up or you get in a fight or anything.
How many different prisons were you in?
Seven. I've been all around the country. I've been to South Carolina. I've been to Tennessee. I've been to Colorado. Colorado is my favorite. God, it's so beautiful.
Okay.
Because I used to live there. And it was like right outside of where I live.
So anytime you mess up, they move you pretty much.
Yeah, because they'll think you have beef with, like, just because you fight somebody, they think you have a beef with a whole gang, which, you know, I was a gang member, so they had to be real careful. Like, if I got in a fight, they didn't like that shit. Anytime gang members get in fights, they get worried that it's going to blow up, full-scale escalation. Which, shout out to every righteous maneuver of the Seven Deuce Red Mob out here on these streets. It's a little bit.
That's his plug. Okay, back to Beaumont.
Back to Beaumont.
So, Maria, and then, okay, so why did you hate Beaumont?
And because every day it was something. It just was never just, you could just wake up and use the phone and just relax, watch TV and do your little workout. It was never that. It was always, oh, so-and-so done said this, and these dudes are now tripping, and we have a yard meeting at 2 o'clock. Man, ain't nothing more intense in this goddamn world. And going out to a yard meeting in a federal prison. What that is when all the groups get together. And boy, I know something about politics. I watched politics. That is real life politics. Groups, their representatives, and going out there. And if we don't get shit hashed out, people are going to die that day. And I've seen them die. Worst thing I've seen there, which is actually probably my favorite thing I've seen, because like I said, blue lives don't matter to me, man. They just don't. Please argue with me about it. I mean, I just don't care. We won't argue. You're just wrong. And, just don't. And people are less than you. So, for some reason, in Nigeria or some fucking place like that, they have a lot of corruption. The feds work with, like, people trying to bust up financial fucking scam rings and shit. And if people go tell, like, people that are from over there tell on, like, these people doing this kind of fraud or something, they'll give them a job in America and get them out of there so they don't get killed. And most of the time, they end up working for the Bureau of Prisons. I've met so many dudes that barely spoke English, like tribal, like Africans. It's weird. Just over there being guards. And man, this dude thought he was going to come into Beaumont, Texas and tell us how to do our time. See, the guards, like that work on the units, they respect us. We respect them. They're just trying to go home. We're just trying to do our thing. They don't come bother us and tattoo, get high, whatever the fuck you want. We're fucking men. But sometimes you get one that want to come in and be fucking RoboCop himself. Got him Arnold Schwarzenegger in a uniform. And that's what this dude did. But see, the problem was he had life fucked up because there were dudes in that my unit, Kelly Bravo, that were had been there 20 years at that same prison that could say, hey, this dude's got to die, and that dude's dead. And there's just no arguing it. Much less a cop. Like, you were putting yourself all the way out there playing with us. That's what he did. This old man did art, did the most beautiful art you've ever seen. He would take a picture of your family and turn it into like a 4-foot by 4-foot fucking poster and do it in black and white. And it was the most, I've never seen anybody more talented than him with a pencil and paper. I think I'm pretty talented, but I didn't have shit on him. And so he had a lot of art supplies in his cell. And, you know, you're not really supposed to keep your art supplies. You're supposed to have, like, a little locker out in the yard. But who the fuck cares? People die every day at Beaumont. We're not worried about art supplies. That's what most of the cops believe. Drink a sake real fast.
Sake break.
That's an interesting taste. Well, this dude just gets it in his head that he's going to bust this old man's art supplies up. Which, like, of all things, like, dog.
That's fucked up.
He had so much other shit to worry about. This dude's like 70. Like, he's got nothing but his art supplies in the world. You're going to be so cruel and callous that you just have it out for this guy? Are you serious? He's got nothing. All his family's dead. Nobody sends him a dollar. That art supplies is how he feeds himself and puts sweatpants on his back in the winter. You can't mess with somebody's thing that keeps him good. I mean, that's like the most dangerous. Please fuck somebody's money up in prison. Boy, you ain't gonna live long. Anyway. Dude came in, shook him down. That's what we call it when a guard comes in and fucks your house up and like takes the shit you're not supposed to have. Shook him down one day. So the dude let him get that, but he caused the big scene. Like, he went and got all us white boys together, and we went down there to the dude's office because they have little unit offices, and there's about 60 of us. Got knives. Every single one of us had a knife. Just went in there and told him, hey, bitch, this is our yard. This is our unit. Don't fuck with this old man. If you fuck with him, tomorrow will be the last day you draw breath on this earth. That's a promise. And he hit his little emergency button and got the other cops down there, but what he didn't know is the other cops respect us more than him. And so the other cops come in to try to like save him. We're like, no, it ain't a problem today, but if y'all bring him back in here and he does this bullshit, he's not going to leave tomorrow. That's a promise. And you know we're right. And like, yeah, you know what? We're going to talk to him. We're going to get him off the bullshit and leave you guys alone. We're like, all right, you better hope you do. You just better hope you do. And tomorrow came. The sun rose on Beaumont, Texas. And this dude just thought that he was going to prove to us that he was running shit. Dog, I'm telling you. He came in there, took that old man's stuff again. That old man said, okay. He went and packed up all the rest of his stuff in his little laundry bag because he knew he was fixing to go to the hole. Went and got two knives, taped them to his hands. One was made out of a shampoo bottle that he melted into sort of like an oblong heart shape, but he laced it up with razor blades. Yeah, it was fucking vicious. This thing was like a goddamn machete. And he went in there and said, all right, motherfucker, this is what you wanted. And the dude starts screaming like a little bitch, that cop. Little bitch. This 70-year-old man went in there, grabbed him by his little hair, pulled his head back, and sawed him in the neck until he hit bone. And when he got to the bone, he took his knee, cantilevered it onto his spine, and snapped his neck bone. I've never heard a sound like that. If you've ever been in an ice storm, if you've ever heard a tree branch break from the weight of ice on it, that is exactly what a neck bone sounds like when it gets snapped. It's very a heavy sound. It's a very... It was a satisfying sound, because fuck that cop. And when the other cops came in, after they saw the cameras, everyone around this dude, they were kicking his head around the unit like a soccer ball. Everybody, they were laughing. Just kicking blood, guts, everybody. It was something. And we were locked down for about 9 months after that.
But it doesn't matter, though, because he had a life sentence, right?
Yeah, you can't. What are you going to do to him?
It doesn't matter.
That's
really
your fault for fucking with him.
And, like, if they give him a death...
He would welcome it.
It wouldn't even bother. He'd be like, okay, cool.
That's why if you work there, you can't play with people like that. You know, you guys watch, you know, Locked Up or whatever, where the inmates are in county jail and they act like hoes and let the police run them. See, that's a different thing than a federal fucking prison.
Yeah, you should make the distinction between state and federal.
See, state people go to jail for being crackheads, basically. They go to jail for fucking stealing cars or fucking beating their wives. Stupid shit. Stupid, white trash, low class shit. The people that go to federal prison are high class, very intelligent criminals. That's a different thing.
Like money laundering.
Money laundering. Real mobsters. I met John Gotti's little brother. I met a lot of people. Met Gucci Mane in Atlanta. He was a straight bitch. They ran him off the yard because he's a rat. You can tell him I said that because, boy, he knows it's true. I was in Atlanta when little baby was there, but he wasn't really nobody back then, like, at all. It's just, like, after the fact, when I learned he got famous, I was like, damn, I was in Atlanta. As far as Bobby Shmurda, he's been up in New York, so I never got to meet him. But I mean, it's like a couple others. Bernie Madoff, seen him in transit. That dude's a straight dick. He just thinks he's better than everyone, which he's probably right. He made $1 billion. What the fuck's he got to talk to you about? I mean, whether you stole it or not, it's pretty impressive. Yeah. It showed gumption. And they kicked that dude's head like a soccer ball. Crazy, but y'all watch 60 Days In and shit, and y'all see little county jail. Like, let me tell you something. I go to a county jail right now. I'm running that motherfucker because no one in there is more vicious than me. No one in there is more intelligent than me. Because I really, really, really been there. People go to county, they just want to pretend they're about that life for 60 days, 90 days. Man, you're not about that life until you've watched Christmas come, your birthday come, Christmas come, your birthday come, Christmas come again, your birthday come again, then Christmas come again. Until that happens to you, you're what we call a fish. You're there, but you don't get it. Once you get it, it's a different vibe, different feeling.
So did you ever get...
What, stab or anything?
Did you get... Yeah, what was the worst thing that personally happened to you? In any institution, it doesn't have to be Beaumont. In any institution you were in...
I'll tell you about the death of my... Man, I don't even want to talk about that, but fuck you. I mean, here we are.
If you want to,
I'll tell you about the death of my best friend. Okay. His name is Jason Parmley. I love Jason Parmley so much that one of the teardrops on my face is for him. Jason Parmley was one of the original members of Anonymous. He was in federal prison because he stole $7 million from Donald Trump. And this is in black and white. The dude's everything he says he is. The people you call Antifa, he started that shit back in the day.
What the Antifa?
Anonymous, Antifa, the protesters that you see going hard right now, that all started 12 years ago with the Occupy Wall Street protests. He was one of the original. And, man, dude was so smart. He lived in Cabo, so he had all pictures, all these yachts he bought with Trump's money. And when Interpol came to get him, he tried to bribe them with $20 million not to arrest him. It's in his court records that he told the cops, I have $20 million in a bank account right here. Just tell me where to send it. How fucking cool.
I would have been like.
How cool. I mean, yeah, who says no? You're a real ass cop. No. You're like, you know what? I'd rather just make 80 grand a year. Fucking.
I would highly doubt they make 80 grand a year.
I'm taking $20 million and telling fucking Law and Order.
More like 36. Yeah.
20 million cash, like, free and clear, dude. Dude was a genius level hacker. In fact, he made another $100,000 while he was in the feds on a cell phone in Texarkana running a fraud ring where people thought that they were working for a legitimate company. They were going to Home Depot and picking up goddamn full semi loads of washers and dryers and going to a fence for him while he's in prison. Dude was just brilliant. Dude taught me a lot. For some reason, he took an interest in me.
Okay, but we're not doing that though. Disclaimer, we're not running a fraud ring.
I don't know. I mean, she might be.
No, I'm not.
Y'all don't buy no goddamn protein bars. Y'all be fucking. They ain't sending that shit at all. You gonna get a motherfucking letter. So, this is how he ended up dying. He started a fake commissary company for the purpose. he's so goddamn smart. This idea still just kills me. Because one of the easiest ways to get contraband into a prison is through the shipping and receiving, whether it's food or commissary. He made a fake battery company where all he was doing was having some people he knew go buy some goddamn Duracells and put a new label on them and mail them into the prison for the low. Well, in them boxes of batteries wasn't hardly but like 6 packs of batteries and goddamn 20 iPhones at a time. I never really posted on Facebook, and I never did because I never wanted to get caught or in trouble, but like, I was on the internet a lot back then, during this time. Well, the thing about when you get to making money like that, because a cell phone will go for about $5,000 in prison. Socky break.
We're about
out. What's up with this cooler light?
And we're subbing it with Kirk White.
Kirk Hold up. Open. Blue Mountain's going.
Yeah, we have to get a little bit more intoxicated.
Yeah, because for real, I'm about to tell you probably the saddest thing ever. All
right.
I don't know why, like, for real... I feel like I'm cheapening his memory.
It's time to talk about these things. This is like
therapy for me. This is entertainment for y'all.
This is therapy and entertainment for them.
Here's the saddest thing I ever seen that happened to me. That was my best friend. I spent every day with that motherfucker.
What prison was this?
This was at Beaumont.
Okay.
Why would it happen anywhere else than Beaumont, right?
Right.
I spent every day with him on Christmas. He bought me a watch, a new pair of shoes, and I told him that was the best. Nobody ever was such a good friend to me as that dude. Point blank, period. That was the best Christmas I had in jail. A couple weeks later, the Serranos. Y'all know them as MS-13, but that's not the same thing. They're actually two different gangs, but I don't have the time or the patience to explain to you Mexican gang politics. You have Google. You can look that kind of stuff up. Well, he was getting so much money because each iPhone was going for $5,000. He was making about $50,000 every 2 weeks. So, you know... In prison, the golden rule applies, which is he who has the gold makes the rules. And people get jealous. People want what you have, and if they feel like they have the muscle power, the manpower to come take it, they're going to try. I mean, it's very Machiavellian. It's survival of the fittest in there. I survived because, point blank period, I was just smarter than everyone I was around. Except for him. This is the only person I've ever met in my life where I said, hands down, there's no category of intelligence that I surpassed this dude in at all. Mm-hmm. Just dude was a born genius. It was incredible. Anyway, rest in peace, Jason Parman, man. They came in, the Serenos, and told him, bitch, check this out. We want our cut. You're going to pay us this much. We're going to keep the other gangs off you. And that's that. If you don't like it, we can handle this right now. Jason Parmalee wasn't no bitch, dog. You ain't. He might have been a hacker. He might not have been a murderer. Boy, you wasn't finna tell that dude nothing. You just weren't. You've been down 15 years. After that, you just quit caring. People can't scare you no more. Like, I'm not scared of none of these motherfuckers. All this fake tough guy shit on the internet just cracks me up. Cracks me up so much. Anyway, they came in there. And he said, well, I guess this time, y'all know what time it is. We're going to handle this business. And they said, bet, we'll be back. You know, because there is honor among thieves. Like, no one's really ever going to blindside you unless you're a rat or a chomo. You're going to know when it's time to put in that work. And so Jason went, got me, got some of his other friends. And we had it politicked out to where we were supposed to get a 4-on-4. Everything be fair, and whoever wins, hey, we'll figure it out from there. Man, when we went out to the yard to go settle up on this account here, man, they brought 40 motherfuckers. I'm Serenos did. About 40 people. You know, can you imagine what it's like to watch somebody that you truly love with all your heart? Truly love. Not no, oh, I love him because he does this for me. No, just that's your motherfucking best friend in the world. That's all you got. But don't nobody else in the world give a fuck about you when you're in prison. And you just have to watch this dude get poked up like a pincushion, and there's nothing you can do to save him. You know what that's like? I still don't sleep at night. I really don't. I sleep about 3 hours a night. I'm always tired. Always tired. But when I close my eyes, I still remember and see me trying to get to him, me getting stabbed, me getting kicked in the head, and him dying and screaming. And I went over to him, and after I got done stabbing him, he was dying. You have no idea how much blood is in a human body. You just don't until you see it. And went over there, man. I held my best friend in the world in my arms. Wow, he made me warm with his blood. I told him everything's going to be all right, and I'll see him again one day. And that was the worst thing that happened to me in prison. And it didn't even happen to me, but it broke my heart in a way that nothing else ever has. You're welcome for that. You guys know too much now. Way too much.
I'm crying.
I mean,
I'm like legit crying. That's so sad.
It was really sad. He was all I had.
Yeah. I know. It's okay. Well, it's not okay, but.
So.
He's probably running some mob gang up in heaven. Probably like. Post it up, listening to this.
What he's doing is he's watching me right now, hoping I succeed. And that's why I don't get high. That's why I don't entertain my old friends. That's why I got a lot of you motherfuckers blocked if you wonder why I don't talk to you. And because I never, ever denigrate the memory of my best friend by going back to that place that he made me promise him I'd never go back to. That's why I choose to not fuck up. I love you. I love Mom. I love all y'all, but that dude died and made me promise I wouldn't go back to prison. I can't betray that. At all. Nothing you can make me, you couldn't pay me to get high right now. You really just couldn't. I'd probably slap the shit out of you trying to get me high. But for real, that's my best friend. I think that's enough for today.
But you do like the Coors Light.
Do like Coors Light. I'm allowed to drink though, so, you know, whatever.
Well, tell us, okay, one last question.
Yeah. I don't know how to top that, really. I mean, like, y'all got everything.
How did it feel to be released? Like, no halfway house release, but, like, released. Like, you saw Mom, you got in the car, and you drove home.
Man, that... I pray and wish for every one of you listening that you get an opportunity in your life to be half as happy as I was on that day. Because I never thought that day would come. Boy, I just didn't. I just thought I'd either die there or it would just never come. I didn't believe it. It's weird. It's weird how that place fucks you. You just don't think you're ever going home after you've been there so long. And man, then it happened. And one day they called my name and said, Ross, pack up. Man, nothing can get... Still, you can't get me down. I'm still flying. It's just... It's... Y'all have an infinite capacity to take everything in your life for granted. You take your friends for granted. You talk shit about them behind their back. You take your lovers for granted. You cheat on them. You post pictures hoping other people are going to like them so you can flirt with them. That shit's not fucking cool. People that love you mean more. should mean everything to you. You should be loyal, fidelis. Because one day all those things can be taken from you. I could get you arrested right now. I could go tell the feds that any one of you had 2 pounds of meth. And if I get someone to corroborate that story, you're getting indicted for something that never caught you with. You know how many people I know that are in prison for that right now? Just for stories? So think about how easy all that shit could be taken from you. Y'all take for granted every single moment you have out here. Any day you spend with your family and around people that love you is a motherfucking gift from God. And you need to appreciate that. You'd be happier for it if you did. Instead of thinking about what you don't have, man, think about everything you do have. You don't wake up on a steel bed. You don't wake up eating a hot dog for breakfast. Man, you just don't. You have so much. You take it for granted. And you should stop. Because you'd be a lot more happier if you did. That's all I got to tell you, really. I ain't trying to preach at y'all. Really not. Have a nice night.
Peace out.